for a few minutes, and people are going to gather around you as well. Anybody else here need a touch from the Lord? Just raise your hand up good and high. Yes, Judy at the back here. We're just a couple of the people gather around Judy this morning. We're going to believe for healing today, amen? Not just going to sing about it. We're going to believe for healing today. That people would be able to, they walked into church sore, stiff, with a problem, but they're going to walk out of church today healed and touched in the name of Jesus, amen? So let's believe that right now. Hallelujah. Let your healing flow. Let your healing flow. As we sing your praise, let your healing flow. You feel it this morning? Hallelujah. Let your healing flow. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let your healing flow. Let it flow, Lord. As we sing your praise, let your healing flow. Sing it again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let your healing flow. Let it flow, Lord God. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, release that healing power upon them. Holy Spirit, do a ministry to them right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Let your healing flow, Lord God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let your healing flow. Hallelujah.
Let your healing flow.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
As we sing your praise, let your healing flow.
Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done.
Fill this place.
Come and fill this place. Come and fill this place.
As we sing.
As we sing your praise. Come and fill this place.
Thank you, Lord.
Abide in me.
Take over, Lord. Just take over.
Come breathe in me. I will rise on eagle's wings.
Come live in me all my life. Take over.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but when I look at the words of a song, they speak to me. And as I read those words, come live in me and all my life take over, it sounds like something of what we're doing isn't working. And so we need somebody to come in and live in this life in us. And that's exactly what Jesus desires to do. Is to come into our life, and he's going to take over. All my life, take over. And as he takes over, it's no longer us breathing anymore, but it's the breath of God that started life back in the Garden of Eden. It's that breath of God that breathes into us and transforms us and makes us a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. That everything is new in us. Everything is just taken over by God. And it's no longer our ways, but it's his ways. And it's something that showers and brings the glory to God that we desire to see in us, that it's no longer us living, but Christ living in us. That it's him taking over. And then as I look at that, and it's not like I want to rise, but he makes us rise up onto eagle's wings. That's where we abide, on those eagle's wings with God. And just what a place to be. What a place to be. Just streaming around and soaring through the heavens, all through the world, and all those eagle's wings. Just hand in hand with God. Hand in hand with God. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me. I will. On eagle's wings, come live in me all my life. Take over, come breathe in me, and I will rise on eagle's. God. Come on, praise him, church. Praise him, praise him, praise him. He's living in you. is taking over. Let him take over. Let him take over that circumstance that you're worried about. Let him take over that health problem that's persisting and coming, getting you down. Just let him take over all those situations. Just let him take over those problem areas of our life. Let him take over the blessings that we have. Give back the blessing. Count it a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. We love you so much that you've taken over our life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Allow somebody here to know, Lord God, this morning that you're looking after the situation, that you're looking after it, Lord, that you're looking after it. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, God. So good to be in church this morning, Lord. We're family. We're one. We're one with the Holy Spirit. We're one in the blood of Jesus Christ. So we thank you this morning as the family draws together, as we sing these songs, as we come around your word, and we just feel so blessed this morning. Lord, we return those blessings, Lord, because it comes from you. We could have been doing other things on this Sunday morning. We could have been going to other places. But God, we're found in the house of God this morning. And I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. So I want to rejoice this morning. I want to rejoice in the things that we have, Lord. They're perfect. They're wonderful. They're a blessing to us, Lord. The house of God, the word of God, the Holy Spirit, the things you do. God, everything is such a blessing to us. So we praise you this morning, Lord. Thanksgiving was last Sunday, but we're not stopping today, Lord. We're continue to give you thanks for everything you do in our lives. God, we continually offer up our thanksgiving and our gratitude to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we praise you this morning. We offer up our word, the word right now to you, Lord. Just let there be a fresh anointing on our ears to hear as we heard this morning, Lord. Let there be a fresh anointing on our heart to feel and to take in, Lord. Let there be a fresh anointing on our spirit this morning, Lord, because some people get down. Lord, let there be a fresh anointing to bring us back up, to feel and to absorb what you have for us. So, God, as we go to your word now, just let it come in. Let it come in. Let it come in. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The kids are going to head off to Sunday school, but go ahead and put up that first slide, Wendy. Isn't that cool? Now, Andrea was up at, used to be for me, Eastern Pentecostal Bible College, but now it's Master's College and Seminary. And so she was up there yesterday, and the authenticity is right there that she was up there. That's a wall that I remember so much right in the foyer of the building. And Andrea was up there, and when they texted me this picture, and I said, hey, I can't keep this to myself. Is that okay if I brought it for you this morning and showed you for the future? Future MCS student, there she is, big smile on her face, mom and dad there, mom of a future MCS student, dad of a future MCS student. Proud day for you, amen. Glad you went up and came back safely. We'll continue to pray for your future, that God would bless you and ordain your steps in the days ahead, amen. Praise God. So you guys can head off to Sunday school now, amen. Bless you. Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time, amen. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? You ever heard those words? Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I believe that that's what God is trying to get into our hearts and our lives today. Did you know that Jesus was a carpenter? Now, a brand new jacket that I bought at Sears for $29. Amen. But back in the days of Jesus, when he was a carpenter, I don't know if he would have had a coat to keep the splinters and the things off of him when he worked in the carpenter shop with his dad. But it's kind of nice when you, if you're going to go in. I remember when I was in shop class in high school, our shop teacher used to come in and put this big smock on to keep all the splinters and the sawdust and everything off him. So he put that on. And he would always tell us as students in school to be really safe. And back in those days, especially when you're around that saw that went around the big blade, and he always cautioned us, and I think nowadays they have chains that won't let your hands get up to that saw, but they always told us about safety and the things that we needed to do. So whenever you're working with wood, there could be the possibility of a splinter flying up in your eye. So they always told us to wear the safety glasses and put on something to protect your clothes if you have good clothes. Man, these things are awfully scratched up. I can't even see you anymore. So anyway, as I was thinking about Jesus in the carpentry shop, and I started thinking that, you know, he would probably have a hammer back in those days, and he would have some wood, and he would probably have a lot of pieces of wood as he started going away at hammering. Did you know that I've got a hammer back here? Did you believe I had a hammer, or did you think I was just going with my fist on something? Is that a hammer, Matthew?
Yes, it is.
It is? Touch it. Go ahead. Feel it. Is that a hammer?
Yes, it is.
It's really good, eh? Yeah, you never hit anybody with these things, okay? Our shop teacher always told us, make sure you hit the nail and on the head, not your... Right. And so we would start hammering in the class, but first, before we even got to hammering, we had to saw to the specifics of what that wood was. And so we would saw and we would come up with something and Bob, is that a saw?
That's a real saw.
Run your finger. Oh no, don't do that. Don't do that. So we would have a saw in our shop class and we would get going and we would kind of get it down to where you'd remember in shop class where you had it all assembled? And it looked half decent. Well, anyway, then the teacher would come out and say, now we're going to stain it. You know, stain. Ron, is that real stain? Can you read it? Like, you know, I know you're older now. Is that a brush? Yeah, okay. So we would take stain and a brush into the class, and we would make sure that we stained it. And it was fun. And I still have one of my things that I made in shop class back many years ago. And it's still sticking around. I stained it real good. And in fact, I even varnished it up. And it looks not too bad. Is it okay if I leave my jacket off this morning? It's a little warm in here. Hallelujah. So this morning, people can't change the truth. But the truth can change people. Welcome to shop class today. Amen. Glad you're here. Would you return your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 1? For all those who weren't here last week on Thanksgiving and you traveled somewhere else, and you had turkey somewhere else, like Bob was telling me he was in Kingston last weekend, and does the turkey taste the same in Kingston as it does in Cornwall? Pretty well. Yeah, it's all foul. Yeah. I trust those who were traveling had a good time. We welcome you back. And know that God is going to do some great things today in church. Amen? So, are you at the first epistle of John? Chapter 1, verse 1. It says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Concerning the word of life, the life was manifested. Say manifested. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested. Say manifested to us. that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts. And we know there's a manifestation right now of Holy Spirit in this place. So we're accepting what He's going to do. We're open to what He's going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody who wants Holy Spirit said, amen. Amen. 1 John, I read this last week, and I got really hung up on it, and so I'm still hung up on it because I believe it's a beautiful, beautiful book. And it's a letter from John to anybody who had listened to it back in those days. It was not to a specific church, as some of Paul's epistles were addressed to the church at Corinth or if Ephesus, but this is just a specific letter that he sent out. And 1 John has been known as the gateway to the New Testament and presenting deep truths, yet it's in a simple format for us to experience and to understand. And instead of John opening with what is known as the prologue or the introduction, as in the Gospel of John, which presents his credentials as an eyewitness, and so he's telling us something which would give John some authority to be able to write this letter because he saw, he talked with, he handled, he experienced the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's talking under that authority and that wisdom and that experience that he has. And John has got the credibility in that he wrote in the Gospel of John also 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And also he received a vision from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And we have the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ written by John when he had a vision on the Isle of Patmos. His first topic here is the Word of Life. And if we've ever come across this fact of the New Testament Greek, we would have found out that the word, when you see the word in the Bible, if you were to go back to the Greek, it is the word logos. Anybody ever heard or experienced that word logos before as you look at the word? Remember in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word, the logos. And the word, the logos, was with God. And the word logos was with God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And that sentence, along with 1 John chapter 1, gives us a deeper and a fuller understanding that we have here in the Bible is the word, the logos, or God, right? Logos is God. It is God. And every time we open up our Bibles, we are looking at the Word of God, which is the Logos. We are actually, as we peer into our Bibles this morning, looking at God. Do you believe that? So when you read the Word of God, you're not reading a book. You're reading God. You're hearing God speak. You're hearing God's anointing on people who were moved to speak and inspired to speak these words and to write down these words. And so every time you read the Word of God, you're reading God. You're looking at God. You're hearing from God. And the Word is in all essence a title for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who reveals the mind of God to all of mankind. And the powerful thing about the Word of God, which John speaks to us in John chapter 1, verse 1, is that the Word existed from the beginning. It didn't start when Jesus was born in a manger, the Logos, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was in the beginning. And he says it again in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that this Word is from the beginning and is for all eternity, implying that when it started in the beginning, it did not stop at the manger. It did not stop at the cross. It did not stop at the resurrection. But it's an ongoing thing, the Logos. Doesn't stop. So that's why Jesus is here today. He's here today. So John is giving us an understanding of the Word, the Logos, that not only he, John, and the other apostles had both heard and seen the Word that gave them an experience, that he gave them knowledge and understanding which still remained with them and kept in their hearts as a bountiful treasure. And with as you read this, the deepest of understanding here of the experience that they were all drawing upon was John, Peter, James and all the disciples, is that they walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus. They saw miracles that Jesus performed. He's trying to get this across that we're not just some yahoo walking down the street and said, you know, we know Jesus. We want to let you know that everything about Jesus, the Master, for 3.5 years, we experienced. We saw it firsthand. We were there. We heard it. We touched him. And we saw everything, and we looked upon. And when you see those words, we have looked upon, means that he is doing scrutiny. Did you know that the disciples, when they followed Jesus, they asked a lot of questions? Did you know as you follow God that you ask a lot of questions too? Maybe you don't ask them to me or anybody else, but you've got the questions. You've got questions about God. You've got questions about his existence. You've got questions about your future. You've got questions about all the things that pertain to God. And as they went through those 3.5 years, they looked upon God and they described in their intense scrutiny as they questioned Jesus and said, what does this parable mean? Is it just for us? Is it for them? Who's it for, this parable? And they started tearing everything apart and wondering what Jesus was talking about at times and really asking him, what do you mean? So they went through scrutiny. They gave their best to when Jesus was here. And even when Thomas got down to the very fact that he doubted that Jesus even was risen from the grave, if you went down to John chapter 20, verse 27, he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Reach your finger in here and look at my hands and reach your hand here in my side. Put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And so Thomas needed an experience. A further experience. Even after 3.5 years with Jesus, he still needed more proof. How often do you and I get into that same situation that every day we live, God, I'd just like to see something happen. A little bit more proof, please. A little bit more proof in the pudding. So I appreciate what John said right after Thomas experienced in John chapter 20, because John wrote this gospel of John as well as 1 John. But right after that experience with Thomas doubting that Jesus was risen from the grave, if you were to go to John chapter 20 right after that very experience with Thomas, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples. That's what it says right in John chapter 20, verse 30. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. I like that. And then if you were to go to the last chapter of John, the Gospel of John, John chapter 21. Again, we hear this in John chapter 21, verse 24. This is the disciple who testifies of these things. I like that. Testifying of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So these believers evidently received and preserved John's gospel and other gospels, and they collected them all over. And so you and I, as we have heard from those people who saw, handled, and felt, and touched, and everything else of Jesus, they wrote down the gospel. And so you have the evidence. You have the factual truth of what they said happened with Jesus. They wrote it down. And we have the fathers who put everything together for us in a nice bound book we call the Bible. But every time you read this, understand and realize this is John saying, this is what I experienced. This is what I felt. This is what was going through my mind and my heart and my soul at this very moment. And as we look at these, it's so beautiful. So how do we feel as we read these verses, these first four verses? They should encourage us to want to understand Jesus a little more in our lives, that what we have here in this Bible and the paper covered by the nice binding, it's the Word of God. It's the Logos. It's God. That John, by his letter, by his words of affirmation to whom he writes it to and about, is in a sense the tangible reality of who Jesus is and what he's all about in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that tells us that really the goal of what he is about to write to us right now in 1 John, in this letter, John, is all about you and I and our fellowship with God. If we're truly going to have fellowship with God, you've got to understand who he is. You've got to go through John and understand that Jesus is real. He came, he walked, he talked, he did miracles. He's at the right hand of the Father right now interceding for you and I. So if we are ever going to have fellowship, you and I have got to believe the truth. We've got to believe the truth. And I like the way he concludes this, kind of like an introduction or the prologue, whatever you want to call it. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be. You want full joy today? I like that. Now, at the core of this introduction of 1 John, we are directed toward the manifestation of Jesus Christ. Manifestation. You know what manifestation means? It means an appearance. It means evidence. It means a presentation or a demonstration of something. And as presently, we right now have Holy Spirit right now in church. There is a manifestation of Holy Spirit here right now. And you may be experiencing something in your heart and soul which nobody else is feeling right now, but you are feeling it. And that is Holy Spirit. You could be on this side of the church feeling one thing and on the opposite side feeling another thing as I say the Word of God from 1 John, because it's the Word of God that speaks. It's the Word of God that moves the Holy Spirit, and His Word will never, ever return void. It is doing something at this very moment. Holy Spirit and His manifestation are doing something. I speak this Word, and Holy Spirit moves through the Word. I speak the Word, and Holy Spirit moves because of the Word. That's why you and I are saved today. You heard the Word one day. You felt something in your heart. Holy Spirit convicted you. You repented of your sins. You said, I'm sorry, God. I never believed in you before. I want to believe in you now. You gave your heart to Jesus. You bent your knee. You confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And you got saved. That's why you're saved today. That's why we feel the intensity of the times as well, because of the Holy Spirit. I really believe, as I came into church this morning and Peter was starting to talk to me about Revelations. He said, I read the book of Revelations afresh, and he was getting a real experience from it. And he's feeling like the end is coming close. And I feel Holy Spirit is telling the born-again, saint, Christian, child of God that it's getting close. We're getting prepared. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for the end times. Don't wander away. Don't stray. Don't get cold. Don't get lethargic. Don't compromise. Stay hot. Stay on fire, because it's coming really soon. I want to go up in the fire. I want to go up like Elijah went up in that whirlwind of the fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to get raptured out of this world. I don't want to stay here any longer. How about you? Like that old song that Jim Reeves sang, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me. And I don't feel at home in this world anymore. Good song. You see, John wrote very precisely in the book of Revelations of the necessity of the church to hear what the Spirit is saying. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And you and I have got to believe that the Holy Spirit is telling us today that His coming is so soon. So the important thing of what John had in his life was a manifestation of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had that manifestation. You know, it's beautiful. And if you have that, it's important to speak about it. And that's why John stood up and wanted to speak about it. That's why he wrote this letter. I've had something. I've experienced something. You guys need to hear. You guys need to hear what happened to me in my life. I'm a changed man because of Jesus. And you and I, when we get saved, you and I have a testimony that Jesus came into our life. Don't let it stay in here. Get it out. Let somebody know, I'm a changed man because of Jesus Christ. I've been changed on the inside. I'm no longer the same. I've been changed. I no longer have the same desires. I'm a changed man because of Jesus Christ. And that's what John wanted to get across. So John begins his letter with what represents to him the life that was coming alongside this Jesus. It was none other than a manifestation of the representation of the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ, who took on flesh, humbled himself, and came and lived among us. Isn't that beautiful? Why write about this? Why write about Jesus? Why write about your experiences? You know, so often I get emails all the time that saying that, you know, Pastor, you've stood at a pulpit for years. How about writing a book? Tell us all your experiences.
So, oh, I don't want to do that. First six chapters would be one way, and the last six chapters would be another way. You know that, Pierre. And people would say, oh, I didn't know that the pastor went through that. Oh, and kind of all those things. But, amen. Don't write a book unless you have to on the experience you have, but write a book about Jesus. And that's what John's trying to do. So that's why he wrote, and he needed to speak about this. And in the New Testament, after Jesus was ascended to the right hand of the Father and filled the church with the Holy Spirit, as we see in the book of Acts chapter 2, the church began to go through persecution from without. You've read about that. And many were even dismantling all those things that Jesus was building his church. Many people were trying to dismantle the church, to bring it down, and to make it of no effect on society, especially in Jerusalem and all those surrounding areas, if they could bring it down. Even Saul of Tarsus, who breathed threats against the church, if you know about him and read about him, he was later called Paul, was getting letters from the higher-ups, the echelon, the Sanhedrin. Give me a letter to go and get them. Give me a letter to go and persecute them, throw them in jail, shut them up, and keep them out of the streets. And so he had got those letters to go into all those places. And even with the case of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, we see a death as a means of quieting the church. A death as a means of quieting the church. And that was from outside the church. But something that John was dealing with here was what was going on inside the church. Sometimes we say, well, that's what's happening with Prime Minister Trudeau, and that's what's happening with Premier Wynne, and that's what's happening in our government, and that's happening outside. But I believe that also there are things that are happening inside the church. Did you know that if we don't hold on to the truth, if we don't hold on to the truth, the Word of God, as we read it and understand it, that we will begin to believe everything that is going on around us, even inside the church? I believe the Bible calls it every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. And I know that in this day and age that you and I live, we see all kinds of programs on TV. We get all kinds of DVDs. We get all kinds of books. And I'm not telling you to throw all that stuff out or turn off your TV. But I pray that you and I would start praying for a gift of discernment for what is going on in our world right now, that we would be able to discern from lies and truth, or half truth and full truth. Amen? Sometimes it could happen where in the church their dogma or their opinions, what people think and even reason out to be logical for what the church should do and should be doing, it could be added to the Word of God. How many times has that happened in the religious cycles of our society, that people have added to the Word of God? How's this for logic? God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts higher than our thoughts. Isaiah 55. See, false teachers were everywhere back then, bringing alongside the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing alongside the Logos, anything that sounded good. Hey, that sounds good. Let's take that. Go back to Mars Hill. They just like, hey, tickle our ears again. Give us something else that's good. That sounds neat. That sounds like it could be toxic for us. And so they would go after it. In fact, Jesus himself spoke again to John on the Isle of Patmos at the conclusion of the book of Revelation that held the world so dear, and yet the word so dear, so concerned the way it is. The Bible is not to be tampered with or touched or dismantled, anything of what it says. Revelation chapter 22 says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I, Jesus, testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life." Isn't that what John said in 1 John chapter 1, the word of life? Take away the book of life from the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. So I think that we are told right here at the end of our Bibles, the power of the word, and we are not to touch it. Don't dismantle it. Don't take away from it. Don't add to it. Just let it speak. For it's the word of God. It's Jesus. Every time you open your word, you're looking at God. Let him speak to our hearts and our lives. Amen. Leave it just like it is. In other words, stop trying to make the Word of God say what we think it should say, but let it speak on its own authority and its own power. Its own power. Hallelujah. Many think that if I'm just a good person, then I will make it to heaven. That's not the Word of God. I enjoyed, Jeff, on Friday night, that testimony you said about that man, that he said, I'm good. That's what he said to you. And we stood around and realized that's not just that one man. That's a lot of people out in society. They say, I'm good. What do you mean that I need God? I'm a good person. I don't lie. I don't steal. I don't cheat. I don't run around my spouse. I don't do this. I don't do that. And they give us all the things of which make them good. And they think they're good. But that's not what the Bible says. God said, I didn't come down here to look for a whole bunch of good people. He said, I came down to look for the sin-sick people, the sick of this world, and to transform them into something that they'd never had before, into a born-again Christian. Amen? Amen. Jesus even spoke to a rich young ruler who kept all the commandments since he was very young. Yet he lacked one thing. Jesus said, take all you have, absorb it into money, and give it to the poor. Get rid of it. And it says he walked away sorrowful because he knew he had that one attachment to the world. He said he was good. He kept all the commandments. But there was one thing that was latched onto his soul and his spirit. And you and I can go through this world and even have one thing, probably many more things, latched onto our spirit. But he just couldn't listen to Jesus. He couldn't listen to Jesus. And it's not about being good. It's about being born again. It's about being born again. It's being born into the kingdom of God, knowing Jesus Christ, the Word, the Logos, absorbing the Word into our hearts, and letting the Word transform us. Not being conformed to the world, but letting the Word transform us into what God wants us to be. It's about not doing all the right things that we think are right, but it's about confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. I want to be saved every day of my life. Amen? I don't want to turn against the Word of God. But it's all about the manifestation of Jesus in our life, in our world, and those who ignore the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who are doing themselves and their families a great disservice. Sometimes people get so ashamed of the Word of God and say, well, I'm not going to tell my brother. You know, I'm not going to tell my sister. I'm not going to tell my kids. I'll just let them find it out on their own like I did. What a terrible thing to keep the Word of God away. No wonder Jesus said, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies before men, him also will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. I don't think it's good practice to keep silent about Jesus. How about you? I don't think it's good practice to stay silent about Jesus. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. To salvation. It's the power of God to salvation. So if we withhold the word of God, we're withholding salvation. We're withholding salvation. Many theologians believe that at the time of not only John's letters, but also many of the New Testament epistles, that there was a horrendous outbreak of false doctrine back in those days. A horrendous outbreak of false doctrine led by many false teachers. They not only added to the gospel and were attacking many of the things that the New Testament church came up against, but the major one or the biggest threat to the gospel going into all the world is that many denied the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They denied the humanity of who Jesus was. As many do today, many spiritualize the Bible. They don't take the Word of God literally. They spiritualize the Word of God. They make it sound good and look good, and they actually even say to us, even though they don't say, I'm spiritualizing the Bible, but they say to us, do you really believe? And they add whatever they want to put in. Do you really believe that Jonah was in the belly of a whale? Do you really believe that Moses crossed the Red Sea? Do you really believe that Jesus came down and was born of a... Do you think that Mary was actually a virgin? Do you believe that Jesus died upon a cross? Do you believe that Jesus rose from the grave? And they attack every part of Jesus, and they come after his humanity. They come after his deity. They come after every part of him. Even a few years ago, one of the major churches of Canada was really fighting against the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and refuting whether Jesus ever rose from the grave. They humanize Jesus, but disbelieve in his humanity. Doctrine after doctrine of Jesus, Logos, living word of his life, is under heavy attack today from outside the church and inside the church. Inside the church. They say he never came. They say he will not return. He never took upon himself flesh. He never took the beatings, the whipping, the abuse for you and I. He never died upon the cross. He never went to a grave, nor was there a resurrection. So John, with holy boldness, as he heard some of these things being spoken, stood up with this boldness and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him and opened up his letter, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have handled, which we have touched, which we have seen. I want to share him, that manifestation, with you. I want to give you the manifestation. So he stood up with all that boldness of talking about the manifestation of Jesus. And he knew it was all being bombarded by all these false doctrines and false teachers. After all, if Jesus is building his church, and I believe he is, how about you? That's you and I. Isn't that where the enemy starts? Isn't that where the enemy begins? Why would he work on the bar? He's already got them. They're not a church. Why would he work on the guy shining his car on Sunday morning? He's not going to church. Why would they talk to the guy cutting grass? The old enemy, why would he go after him? He is all around the church. And you know, every Sunday morning, I go into the prayer room prior to the service, and I invite you to come in there sometime. If you wake up early on a Sunday morning, my wife and I usually get in there shortly after 9. You may get in there at any time before the service starts, but I go in there, and I say, devil, you'll have no property in this building. Not even my parking lot here, because this is God's property. This is holy ground, so you can't come in here. We just want a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That's all we want, nothing else. We just want God here. We hunger and thirst for your righteousness. So come on in on a Sunday morning and agree with me. If you wake up Sunday morning, you can't sleep through Saturday night into Sunday morning. Just say, hey, well, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I'll go down and wait for the pastor to open the door of the church or the music team, and I'll just get into that prayer room and wait on God. Amen? Can you imagine what could happen in the services if the church began to get into that place and began to pray for the service? You know, I pray for people to come into church. I pray, God, bring them in. Move them into Cornwall. And here I walk out this morning, and here's Brother Rivette sitting back there. And he said, I've moved to Cornwall. And so I'm very grateful. If anybody has seen him, he comes in here at Christmas. He comes in here sometimes in the summer. He kind of gives us a little bit of times with him. But there he is at the back. He moved to Cornwall. And so I say, thank you, Jesus. I asked for somebody to move to Cornwall. And we've got proof. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So every time you pray, God hears and God will answer. So I don't know what got into his heart to move to Cornwall, but here he is. And I don't know what gets into people's hearts all around us, why they come into church on a Sunday morning or whatever. But here you are. Here I am. Here we are. And God is moving by his Holy Spirit. There is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our city, in this church. And not only this church, but every church that believes that the Bible is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen? That's what God wants to do. So I read this letter and I say, thank you, John, for telling us. Thank you, John, for your boldness and standing up and telling us what happened back in those days of the manifestation. And something else here, Holy Spirit gave to John in taking on the lies of the enemy, trying to destroy the church, the believers found in Revelation chapter 12. I love Revelation chapter 12 in the last book of the Bible. Hallelujah. I'll see if I can get that there for you. Oh, it went too far. There, okay. Here it is, Revelation chapter 12. And then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who's the accuser? Satan. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night, he does it all day long, 24 hours a day, accuses people. And they overcame him, the accuser of the brethren, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Hallelujah. The blood. They overcame by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world devalues the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They devalue Jesus. They devalue everything about Jesus. But I want to let you know this morning, the truth is here. In church, if you believe in the truth, then the blood is your power weapon. You stand in the blood. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is forever the fortress of the saint of God. That's where we run. That's where we hide. That's where we apply. We plead the blood on our lives and our families. We plead the blood. Hallelujah. And they overcame by the book. Their testimony was based on the word of God. How do you get saved? You need to be born again. Where does it get that from? John chapter 3, verse 3. You must be born again. They got it from the book. That's how they got a testimony, because they learned from the truth. That's what they needed to follow. And so your testimony is based not upon your opinion or the church's thoughts or anything else. Your salvation is based upon the Logos, the word of God, coming in and residing in your life. You believe the truth. Amen? And they loved not their lives unto the death. This is a consecration and a dedication and a commitment and a sanctification of the greatest step, because you and I don't live for ourselves, but we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I will live for him. I will die for him. I will exist for him. I breathe for him. I preach for him. Everything is about the Lord Jesus Christ. They love not their lives unto the death. So John stepped up to the plate of all that was happening on the attack against the Lord's church, but yet without his humanity. John wrote to prove the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ. John was offering that he not only saw the Lord Jesus Christ when he was present, but he believes him to be here now with the church. This didn't happen a few years ago. He's here with the church right now. That's how we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, is because of the manifestation that Jesus came with. That which was from the beginning is ongoing. Jesus is the beginning, Jesus is the now, and Jesus is the future. We can count on him. You can count on him today. You can count on him later on today. You can count on him on Monday morning. You can count on him every day of the week. Amen? John was saying, if you're looking for proof, if you're looking for the final product, you don't have to go any further than the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and in shop class, when you got down to working on all those things, you came up with the proof of what you did. Amen? You put a few pieces of wood together. You put some stain on that. And you put a hammer and nail and a saw and everything else. You did your very best in there. You came up with proof, because, and you took it to the shop teacher and you said, look what I did. Look what I did. And that's what John is saying here. I've got the proof. Look what happened to me. Look what happened to me. I had the manifestation. I saw, I touched, I handled, I had it all. And the life was manifested. I have seen, and I declare, and I bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So are you looking for the final product? Are you looking for what Jesus can do in our lives? What Jesus can produce in our lives? What Jesus has the ability and the authority to move through our lives and come up with? You know, He astounds us at times, doesn't He? You know, I was sitting there thinking that, God, I'm very grateful for being a pastor. As I heard the words that Grace spoke and the Love Scores gift card, and I'm going to be eating there and thinking of all you guys, and it's going to be good. But, you know, I just think of, wow, God, you changed my life. Wow, you called me to be a pastor. How'd that ever come to be? Wow, I never would have thought that when I was making something in wood shop. I would never have thought when I was a teenager that God would call me to be a pastor. Look what God can do in our lives. I'm living proof. I'm manifestation. And Andrea, she's on her way. She's on her way. God's put his hand upon her life. He's calling her. She's going to Bible college. She wants to be a youth pastor. She wants to follow Jesus. She's not loving her life to the death. She's giving it over to the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever God wants of her. So in other words, Jesus for all of us has always been, but for this glimpse in this time, looking back in John, for all of humanity on earth, God the Father sent his Son into this world, the only begotten Son, for a moment of time, for 33 and a half years, the humanness of God taking upon the flesh to come and visit with us. to show us the manifestation, to show us his love, to show us he cares for us, to show us the deep concern that he has for his creation. I like what John said back in his Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't that beautiful? John saw it, and he beheld the glory of the Father. John chapter 1. Verse 17 says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would the worship team come, please? The life was manifested, paid in full. That's what we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship right here is with the Father and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you so much. Oh God, we praise you for the Word of God this morning. Praise you for the Word of truth. Praise you for the declaration of the word of truth into our lives. Thank you, Lord. If anybody here is saved, they know that the truth has changed them. It's made them a new person. They have a testimony because of what the truth did. The Spirit of the Lord has set them free. The truth of the word of God, it set them free. So God, this morning I pray if anybody is here today that doesn't know you, that has never really delved into that truth or really received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and perhaps they've listened to all the lies, they've listened to all the things that of the world is dictating to this world, that Jesus never really was real, that they just humanize him and spiritualize him. But God, you are real. You came to this world. So I pray this morning as the Holy Spirit is being manifested in this place, there's maybe somebody here right now who is going through some real battle in their heart. Maybe I should come to Jesus. Maybe I should give my life over to Jesus. Maybe I should make a declaration right now and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and really get into the Word of God and find out more about Jesus. If that's the case for you this morning, I'm just going to ask you one thing. I don't want to embarrass you in any way, shape, or form, but I think it's something that you need to do. If you have any doubt in your heart, if there's any confusion, if you don't know if you love Jesus Christ, if you don't know if you're in relationship with him, then you need to pray a prayer to make sure that you are a child of God. So this morning, I'm just asking in this moment, every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would just be man or woman enough to just raise your hand quickly and put it down, we'll pray for you today that you'll have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Anybody at all, just put your hand up quickly and put it down, and we'll pray for you. Anybody, anybody at all. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, thank you that every one of us here knows Jesus, and perhaps there's somebody who couldn't raise their hand. But God, I pray, let the truth set us free every day of our lives. And I thank you, Lord, it's all because you live. It's all because of you living in our heart and soul. It's all because of you living through us, Lord, that we have a testimony. So God, we declare today that you're our God. And Lord, as we sing this song in conclusion, I love the words that Bill Gaither wrote many years ago that says it just so clearly and succinctly, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Would you stand with me as we sing this song in conclusion today? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
He came to us.
Wendy, could you put that up? And one day I cross that river. The last verse. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory. And I'll know. He lives. I'll know. That'll be proof. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll find life's
final war.
Solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you so much that we live in the truth. Yes. We abide in the truth. The truth is what sustains us. The truth is what keeps us. The truth is what keeps us going. The truth is what keeps us living. The truth is what keeps us coming back for more. The truth is what longs in our heart for more of Jesus. It's crying out. It's crying out. It's like wisdom. It's like knowledge. It's like truth that just wants to break forth in our lives. So God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you had a man by the name of John who boldly stepped up to the plate and just said it like it is. Thank you, Jesus. We need people like John. We need to follow people like John. So we thank you, Lord. Bless us as we go today. Let the truth keep us free. Keep us free. So God, bless us. Bless our family. Bless our church family. Bless us as we go. And Lord, let us ever have a Thanksgiving day every day of our lives. because we thank you and we love you. We appreciate you so much. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray today. And all the church said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you.
Because he lives, I can face.